Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 2nd, 2022. Today is Saturday in the fourth week of Lent. Today's reflection is drawn from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 31. When I was in seminary, one random weeknight, I received a phone call at my apartment from a fellow seminarian. He knew of my previous history as an evangelical fundamentalist Pentecostal. And so he called me because he was working on a paper about hell. And he didn't even say hello. When I picked up the phone, I said hello, and this voice on the other end asked, "So what does an evangelical need to do to go to hell?" And my answer was just lightning fast. Be born. There was this pause on the other end of the phone. What do you mean? And I said, well, I grew up in a church that believed that everybody was born on their way to hell already, and that save the intervention of a personal conversion experience, that's where you were going to wind up, in the flames of eternal torment for beyond forever. We spent a lot of time talking about hell growing up, what things would keep us from hell, what things would send us to hell, the dynamics of hell, the dimensions of hell, the heat of hell, the torment of hell, the fear of hell, the fire of hell, 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 hell. In fact, a few years ago, I'd probably been here at Trinity for 10 years, in a phone call with my mother, who's still a good, faithful Southern Baptist, she asked me, out of the blue, "Do you ever preach on hell?" And my response to her was, "Why would I want to talk about a place I don't want anyone to go?" Well, Jesus talks about hell in snippets, in bits and pieces, mainly through parables. And in today's gospel, there is a story about two individuals, a rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus. Jesus sets up the story by talking about how the rich man had more to eat than he knew what to do with, how he dressed in really great clothes, and how he walked past the poor man Lazarus every day because Lazarus sat at the gate of the rich man's house begging. And Jesus mentions that Lazarus is covered with sores and that he receives comfort when the dogs lick his sores, which is a horrible image for any of us to think about, and that Lazarus was so hungry he would have eaten the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. As it happens, they both die, and Lazarus goes to the bosom of Abraham, paradise, a place of comfort and peace, and the rich man goes to hell, where he is in torment. Here's an interesting thing about this story, is that apparently there was no personal thought process on the part of either Lazarus or the rich man about where they were going to spend, quote, eternity, unquote. Judgment was immediate upon their death. Lazarus was judged to be worthy of paradise simply because of the suffering he had endured as a poor person. In life, and the rich man is deemed worthy of hell simply because of his possessions. We don't get any clue that there was a particular moral purity on Lazarus' part, or that there was somehow some moral depravity on the part of the rich man. The story about where they wind up is a story about power and about how God adjudicates power and those who abuse it. It's quite a story because even in hell, the rich man can't quite see that he's not in a powerful position. He continues to try and boss Father Abraham around. He continues to try to deploy Lazarus as his servant. Father Abraham, send Lazarus to get some water for me because I'm tormented in this place. Eventually, when the rich man recognizes his state, that he's not getting out, he implores Father Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to give a word about the tortures of hell. And Lazarus, or Father Abraham, says, no, that's not what's going to happen. They have Moses and the prophets. And the rich man says, they won't listen to that, but they will believe someone who's risen from the dead. To which Abraham replies, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe someone, even if they rise from the dead. This is definitely a precursor. Jesus is talking about the nature of faith and those who will and won't believe in the resurrection. But anyway, back to hell. Whether or not Jesus is giving us a tour of eternal damnation, or, as I like to think about this, he's putting a fine point on how worldly success does not equate to a right relationship with God. Whatever the ultimate intention of Jesus in telling the story, we've got a very dramatic depiction of an afterlife. As I wrestled with this story today and with my own history of hearing about how I was always just one breath away from going to hell, and the fear that that engendered in a 10-year-old kid, I looked to the back of our prayer book to recall what the prayer book says about heaven and hell. In the Catechism, there's a question, what do we mean by heaven and hell? And the answer that is given in the Catechism is, by heaven we mean eternal life in our enjoyment of God. By hell we mean eternal death in our rejection of God. Again, in the parable that we have today, there doesn't seem to be any decision made on the part of Lazarus and the rich man. It wasn't like the rich man decided he wanted to go to hell, or that Lazarus decided he wanted to go to heaven. This was all a judgment of God. But once you think about it very much, you begin to realize that it's possible that the rich man, even with all of his finery, with all of his food, with all of his well-being, he had been, maybe by his lifestyle, maybe by his own inattention, maybe he had gotten a head start on hell. Maybe he had been rejecting God in little ways. Maybe he went to synagogue. Maybe he studied the scriptures. But in his day-to-day life, every time he walked past poor old Lazarus, he was rejecting God's call that we be merciful, and that we be charitable, and that we be of assistance to those less fortunate. Maybe every time he refused to even give Lazarus the table scraps, maybe in rejecting Lazarus, the rich man was rejecting God. And in rejecting God, he was rejecting life with God. I still think a little bit about the way that we talked about hell in the church that I grew up in. And I think the place that I've been ruminating on today is that so often the way hell was preached in the church I grew up in was not just about a concern for an errant soul suffering damnation in fire for eternity. But at some level, there was a little bit of superiority, and there was almost like a glee that all of the bad people of the world were going to get their just deserts, and God was going to send all the people who had been mean to us to hell. And that got me thinking back to my own preaching, which is that I want people to know about the joy of serving God. I want people to know about the joy of salvation. I want people to enjoy being Christians. I want people to feel the love of God. Because I believe that if we begin to actually enjoy being Christians, if we actually begin to celebrate being the beloved of God, if we could just for a moment get a taste of God's mercy in our heart and understand that the salvation that God has given us through Jesus is not something that makes us better than anyone else, but it is an opportunity to rediscover our identity as God's children. That would be an opportunity to enjoy God. And in enjoying God, to come to understand our responsibility to our neighbors. Well, the story of Lazarus and the rich man has given me a lot to think about today. And I'm guessing that if you read it, it gave you lots to think about. And that's the glory of these stories. There is never just one day where we have one answer and it is definitively settled. I suspect the next time I read Lazarus and the Rich Man, well, I'll have a different reaction. But for today, I just know that I want to be a person who is enjoying God, not just in this life, but with God's help and through the merits of Jesus my Savior in the next life as well. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.